It's a beautiful Sabbath, isn't it? And certainly a Sabbath that we will all remember as a church family. And it's always sad when we say goodbye. But we just know that as Christians, that goodbyes are really something that we don't have to worry about, because we know that we're going to see each other again, aren't we? If we don't see each other here on this earth, we will see each other in heaven. And that's what we're looking forward to. That is what we believe as Christians, that Christ is coming. Is that right? Amen? Christ is coming. Everything else is kind of temporary here in this world, but we do know that there is another world. Solomon, I believe, in all of his wisdom, realized that this world, the things of this world, were really of no value. Even though he, as he says here in the book of Ecclesiastes, he tried it all, he owned it all, he had it all, he still realized that there was something beyond this earth. So this title of my sermon, is that your final answer? You know the game. It's a television game. There's a game show that Regis Philbin used to host, and now I believe Meredith hosts it. I haven't seen it probably in several years. I don't know how long it's been going. But you know the game. They ask a question, something to do maybe with the history or math or science or something. And you need to answer that question. And if you can't answer the question, then you have several options. You can rely on the audience to answer the question, or you can call a friend on the phone and see if your friend might have the answer to the question. But when you finally answer the question, then Regis would say, what? Is that your final answer? This morning, I'm going to ask you the million-dollar question. What is the meaning of life? Think about the answer in your head. What is the meaning of life? You see, that's what Solomon is trying to convey to us here in the book of Ecclesiastes. A wise old hippie back in the 60s said that life here on this earth is like a terrarium. Do you all know what terrariums are? They were pretty popular back in the 60s and 70s. Usually it was an old sparklets bottle that you confiscated somewhere along the way. And in that bottle you would put a little gravel, a little soil, dirt. And then you would drop seeds of different plants in there that you wanted to grow. You would put those seeds in there. And then you would put a little water in and a cork on the top. And then put it in the sun. And as the sun shone on that bottle, it would become humid inside. The water would rise to the top. And then as it cooled off in the evening, that water would drop and water those beautiful plants that you put in there. It was, in fact, a perfect little ecosystem. Sun, soil, plants, and water. One problem, though. If you were living in that terrarium, if you were living inside that special, perfect little ecosystem, the problem is there are glass walls. And if you lived in there, you could see out and know that there was something outside of those glass walls. No matter how perfect the environment inside, there was always the unknown on the outside. And so maybe that old hippie was right. Maybe that's what Solomon is trying to tell us here. Maybe he's trying to tell us that even though things are perfect or may seem perfect in this world, there's always the unknowns. There's always the thing outside of the parameters that we live in here in this world. Therein lies the problem, that we know that there is more to life, but we have no power to go beyond the parameters of this planet, of this life that we live on. We need help. We need help from a higher power, don't we? You see, from the human point of view, life in the terrarium seems futile. And it is easy for us, very easy for us, to become pessimistic about life here on this earth. Ecclesiastes goes beyond the conventional wisdom. And in chapter 7 it says, Solomon goes beyond the conventional wisdom, and he says that nothing on this world is of any value without God. Human life and human goals are meaningless. They are hopeless. They are meaningless apart from God. So what a relief it is for us as Christians to turn and to say and to hear Jesus say, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You see, the inevitable reality for all of us, is that we're in the same terrarium together. Or as they say, we're in the same boat together. There's no accident. It is no accident or a chance that nothing can touch you aside from God's will. Nothing can touch you. Take a look at John 10, 27 to 23. I'm going to need a bigger podium here. Sometimes these aren't big enough for the spread out my notes here. So take a look at John chapter 10. John 10, 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Isn't that a beautiful promise? That no matter what experience you're going through in life, no matter what difficulty you might be experiencing, no matter how frustrated you are, and you young people, what's the meaning of life? One of my son's friends recently, he was visiting them, and he's known this young lady for a long time, 15 years or more. And here are these group of young people, and they're talking about their lives, and they're talking about the future. And this one friend that he's had for many, many years says, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I'm not sure what life is all about. So I'm going to go spend a few months on the East Coast searching for my future. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, that's normal for young people. It's normal for you to wrestle with the meaning of life. It's normal for you to wonder about what is in the future. Those of us that are a little farther along in life and we look back in our lives, we realize that that wrestling and that struggling is an important aspect of our growth. It's that important aspect of our maturing experience. We get farther along in life and we begin to sound like Solomon. Well, you know, life is good, it's hard, it's a struggle, it's difficult, it also has its highs and its lows. Yes, and at times it seems meaningless. Then you turn to the words of John chapter 14, verse 10. John 14, 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father? And that the Father is in me, and the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. You see, nothing can come your way in life that can separate you from God. Not hardship, not toil, not even a struggle with the meaning of life can separate you from God, because in Christ Jesus, just as Jesus was in the Father, we are in Christ Jesus. Solomon reminds us that we all must face the reality of life, and that is the one thing for sure, we're all going to die. I know that sounds morbid. Solomon talks about it over and over again in Ecclesiastes. We're all going to die. That's one thing that we all face. Sooner or later, it's going to get us. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And as is appointed for men to die once," it's all appointed for us to die once, "but after that is the judgment. After that is the coming of Jesus Christ." So we discover that in the writings of Solomon, the man, the wisest man that ever lived, we discover that he too has said that life is meaningless without God. And so, if life is meaningless without God, then the focus of our lives, as John is trying to point out, and also Paul in the book of Romans here is trying to point out, that to find meaning, we must connect with God. Romans chapter 14, verse 10 says, "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." And so you see, we are all standing in one place, and that is before the judgment seat of God. And Revelation chapter 20 talks about that great throne that we will all stand before. So Solomon is trying to tell us here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 3, that we all contain within our hearts the elements of evil and insanity. And yet, God created us for His purposes. He created us to live eternally with Him. And so we stand on the inside of this terrarium, looking out through the glass. We see that there is an eternity that is possible for us, but we can't get there unless we accept Jesus Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in verse 4 through 7, Solomon tells us that it's important. It's important for us to recognize God. Look in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. "So I reflected," he says, "on all these things, concluding that the righteous and the wise, and what they do in God's are in God's hands. The righteous and the wise are in God's hand." Do you see that? "But no man knows whether love or hate awaits him. All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is said, the good man, so with the sinner, as is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The heart of man, moreover, is full of evil. There is madness in their hearts while they live. And after they join the dead, anyone who is among the living has hope." And that hope is in what? In Jesus Christ. There is hope. Now I'll ask you the million-dollar question again. What is the meaning of life? Hope in spelled Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. The meaning of life is to find hope in Jesus Christ. Yes, if you look at verse 7, as I was reading this chapter this week, I found this one particular verse that just jumped out at me. Because, you know, Solomon can sound a bit morbid. You know, when you read this, it sounds sometimes, you know, like he's really melancholy and kind of like Chicken Little, the sky is falling, it's falling. And yet, I found something here that just jumped out at me. Verse 7 of chapter 9 in Ecclesiastes. Go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart. Now listen to this. For it is now that God favors what you do. It is now that God favors what you do. You know, as young people, we start out believing that at some point in our life, we're going to find total, complete satisfaction. We're going to find happiness beyond belief. And so we begin our lives as young people by saying, well, okay, if I just do this, then I'll get this. And if I just achieve this, then I'll be, you know, and we're kind of like stacking up blocks, hoping that at some point in our lives, we will have stacked enough blocks, we will have built a nice enough home that we'll be happy and satisfied. And those of us that are older, we look back maybe on our lives and we say, well, you know, if I just done that differently, then maybe things would be different now. Or if I just made that decision, or if I just gone here, or if I just gone there, then maybe my life would be happier now. You know what the good news here that Solomon is trying to tell us? He's trying to get across to us the fact that it is now, right now, young people and older people, it is right now that God wants to bless you. It is right now that God is blessing you. Don't keep looking for something else. Don't keep looking outside the terrarium for your happiness. Don't keep looking around you hoping that somewhere in life you're going to find something that's going to make you happy. If I could just have this, if I could just have that, if I could just achieve this, if I could just get, you see how you get bogged down? Because God says, right here, for it is now that God favors what you do. So where are you right now? Something that I picked up as I was reading the book of Ecclesiastes, and particularly chapter 7 through 9, is this. I'm going to shorten it for you here. First of all, we know that we have been made free. We've been made free. John chapter 8, verse 36 is therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Isn't that right? So realize this. You have been made free. That's something you can celebrate right now. Okay? Number two, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says this. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Walk in the Spirit. So the second thing we need to remember is to learn to walk in the Spirit, to live now because God is blessing you now, and to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 also says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if we're living in the Spirit, then let's allow the Spirit to lead us in our walk. So learn to walk in the Spirit. Learn to listen to its voice. Listen to its counsel. Number third, the third thing. I've already talked about this, but I'll come back to it. We are not to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This is something, you know, that is so easy in the world that we live in, this modern world, in this world full of material things. It's so easy for us to fall into that. Romans 13:14 says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The next, we have been cleansed. Do you believe that? We have been cleansed. This is not past tense. I mean, this is not a future tense. This is now. You have been cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. Accept that. Accept it now. Don't accept it in the future. Believe that. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins. And there's the word. And to cleanse us. And to cleanse us. Can you say that? Cleanse us? That's you. That's you and me. And to cleanse us from all, not just some, but all of our unrighteousness. Are you keeping a checklist? Well, you know, God, He can probably cleanse me from this, but I'm not sure about this one. Maybe I need to do a little more penance here. Maybe I need to do a few things to make sure that God's forgiven me. No, the Bible says He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're clean right now. Right now. And finally, listen to this. The handwriting against you. The one who wants to condemn you, the one who wants to destroy you, the one that wants to say, this person is hopelessly lost. They cannot be saved. Listen to this. The handwriting that is against you has been wiped out. The handwriting, 2 Corinthians, or Colossians rather, 2:14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Nailed it to the cross. Jesus has already died so that you can have eternal life. Jesus has died so that you can be cleansed. Jesus has died so that you can be saved. So how shall I live? How shall I find meaning in my life? Choose happiness. Get yourself right with God. And get involved. Going back to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, I love this. Chapter 9, verse 9. And what does it say? Enjoy life with your wife. Now, excuse me for those of you that are single. That's okay. You can still enjoy life. But he says here, enjoy life, and the emphasis is on enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. For this is your lot in life, and in your toilsome labor under the sun, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Okay, there's a second one. Our third one, rather. Choose happiness, get yourself committed to God, and get involved. Choose happiness. A lot of people say, well, wait a minute, you know, my life isn't very happy. I got a lot of bummer things going on in my life. But you can choose to be happy. That is a choice. Things can be rotten. Things can be bad. Things can be difficult. Things can be painful. but you can choose. A number of months ago, I told you about a gentleman that I met in my father's retirement home. This gentleman, David Lim, is a man who went to school with my father at PUC, graduated with him. My father went off to become a missionary in Korea, and David went to be a missionary in his homeland, China. And, of course, that was about the time Mao Zedong took over China. And David Lim chose to stay. And he stayed. And he spent most of his adult life in prison. I met this man, and I've never seen a more radiant, pleasant, happy face in my life. I thought to myself, and I've heard about him all of my life because he was a friend of my father's. I thought, this guy, what a bummer. What a terrible life he's lived. And when I met him there, I couldn't believe his beautiful, like a face of an angel. Here is a man, in spite of the hardship, in spite of the pain that he suffered in the communist prisons, in spite of the torture, in spite of everything that he lived with, he still chose. He chose to follow God. He chose to be faithful. He chose happiness in spite of it all. What a tremendous lesson. Solomon is saying that God knows us. And if we know God, if we are connected with God, that we can live a life that is fulfilling. A life that, yes, will have joy in it. And you know what the good news is? The good news is Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming to this little old terrarium out here in the middle of space. And oh, there's a lot of sickness and there's a lot of sorrow and there's a lot of unhappiness in this world. But he is coming and he's going to pop the cork off the top of the terrarium, and he is going to come into this world and take us out of this world. For Jesus said, where I am, you will be also. And I have gone to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's the good news. That's the good news. Young people, make sure that you take time to connect with your God. Make sure that you realize that now is the time that He loves you and cares for you. And no matter what the future may have, no matter how much worrying you may do about your future, just remember that God is in your life and He wants to guide you step by step. Older people, like me, remember that no matter how much second guessing you might do and how much worrying and how much thinking and how much saying that, well, I wish I'd done things differently, remember that God has been in your life. And even in the lowest points, even in the times of sorrow and distress, that God has always been by your side because He is the God that wants to be with you now and through eternity. There's one thing for sure, that this life can be a bummer. But there's one fact, that when you're connected to Jesus Christ, no matter how bad this life might be, no matter how difficult this life might be, no matter how painful this life might be, Jesus is coming again to take us home. He's going to pop the top off of that bottle, and He's going to shout in there, I'm coming, here I am, come home with me. Jesus is coming. Million-dollar question. What's the meaning of life? I think that's a question that we each have to answer personally. I think it's a question that each of us have to struggle with personally. But I believe to answer that question would be to say, there's hope in Jesus. That's what I have to hang on to. And every time there's difficulty, every time there's hardship, every time there's struggle, I have to remember that hope is in Jesus. It's not in anything else. It's just in Jesus. So is that your final answer? Let's bow our heads. Father God, thank you so much for our family here at Point Loma. Thank you for the way that your Spirit is leading us individually and collectively. Thank you for the words of Solomon that you are pleased with us right now, that you are working in our lives right now, and that you have a place for us in heaven. Teach us to hold on to that promise of hope. Teach us to hold on to Jesus Christ. Never let go. And bless us, we pray, as we go from this place. May those who come in contact with us say truly they have been with Jesus. Is our prayer in your name.